thanking each and every one of you for your support, your prayers, the cards of encouragement. I'm trying not to get emotional. But man alive, we really appreciate all that Monte Vista has done to help us out as we do the work of the Lord up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's nice and warm down here. Of course, you guys might think that that's a little crazy, seeing that it's, you know, a little cool for you. But we left Sault Ste. Marie. It was 9 above 0. Had to bust through about an 18-inch drift to get through the driveway so we could make it to the airport on time. But today, I want to bring you a lesson that's near and dear to my heart because I apply it to myself. It takes a whole lot of patience as we go through life. But most importantly, you know, when we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, and you'll see that I'll have my scriptures up on a slide. I've done this because I use my sermons as teaching tools. And so then that way, and plus one of our members had Parkinson's disease and he couldn't turn his Bible, so I wanted to make sure that he could see what I was preaching was in accordance with God's Word. And like I tell everybody that I preach to, I'm human. I might mess up here, so follow along with me. And if I messed up, and you just come tell me, and if it applies, I'll fix it right up. But in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." What an important verse. One thing that applies, you know, not only within the congregation, but as our lives outside the congregation. Patience is a when you look at what patient people are, well, I like the King James Version where it says long-suffering. I mean, that sometimes that really defines what patience is. But for the most part, people that are patient are happy. They're humble. They're gentle. They're optimistic. You know, they're patient for waiting for the good things to come. They're trusting, hopeful. And Jill's grandma used to have a saying, patience is a virtue seldom found in a woman. She would say woman, but and never found in a man. Or it depends on how you look at that. But let it be said that patience should always be found, whether you're a man or a woman, as a Christian. Impatient people are just the opposite. They're stressed, they're unhappy, pessimistic, can't you know, we live in this McDonald's age, you know, the drive-through. You know, I can remember where you had to go up to the counter and you'd have to wait and stuff, and nobody thought of that. But man, if the line's too long at McDonald's, people start honking their horn and everything else. I think we're structured as a society now to expect things right here and now. I think about the kids that, you know, they do the electronic thing there and everything's done for them instead of putting things together and being patient and, well, unsatisfied, anxious and angry. And this leads to your health problems too. If you're impatient, you're worried about everything and everybody. And sometimes you feel defeated. Let me suggest that people that are impatient are thin-skinned. And what I mean by that? Well, if you're a Christian, you need to have, well, you're wearing the armor of God. Come on. You've got to have thick skin. No matter what purpose the good Lord has for you, but you got to hang in there with that. Can patience be an option in a Christian? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 3. Says, "If I give all possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Look at what one of the definitions of love is. It's patient. It goes on to say it's kind. And it says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and perseverance. You know, a patient person perseveres. I thought I was going to mess that alliteration up a little bit, but I got through it. But it always perseveres. It just waits for the good stuff. Faith requires patience. We read in James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, says, "Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know, toward one another, within the congregation, you know, sometimes things don't happen as quick as we think that they ought to. But we need to be real careful that careful thought's not involved in whatever process that's going on, you know, with your elders or your deacons. Sometimes maybe a deacon's not doing it quick enough. But there might be a real good reason behind that. Be patient. Because as we're patient, things are going to work out well. And let's look at Job. We see that after everything that he went through, the Lord blessed the later part of Job's life more than the former part. You might be going through some rough stuff, but be patient. Maybe it's for good reason. Maybe the Lord put you in this position because there was better things to come. Is being patient a challenge at times? Absolutely. I can remember my dad said, "You're on my last nerve," and I knew that was the time that I needed to back off. Perseverance, once again, that's part of patience. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Think about a toddler for just 1 minute. Think about when they pitch a hissy fit, when they just get down and they just have a fit. It's because something isn't happening as quick as it can. Or they're impatient with building the blocks and they just, you know, knock it down because it didn't happen as quick. Maturity has to, if you're mature, you have to be mature to be patient and use maturity to keep that patience going. When you lose patience, you need to put it back on. Colossians chapter 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And at the point when you're starting to lose your patience, sit back. The good Lord gives us this amount of time that we can react to whatever situation that's what separates us from the animals, is we got that time to think about how we're going to react to something. So step back, put the patience back on, because impatience doesn't really accomplish anything. We are patient because the Lord is patient with us. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 8, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his patience, as some understand slowness. And look at this. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You've fallen away. The Lord's being patient with you. You're still drawing breath. Paul explains how Christ was patient with him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he said, Christ was merciful with him so that he might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. During Paul's preaching career, he referenced back to the things that he did. In Acts chapter 22:4, it lists the things that he did before he became a Christian. But he says, God was patient with me. He hit me over the head with a proverbial 2x4, but he was patient with me because he had plans for me to do his work. Even when we fall, the Lord's patience is with us. James chapter 4:4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he's caused to dwell in us? Think about that. Isaiah, the prophet in 30:18, says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. This is part of the Lord's patience. We can get the best example of patience is in God. Patience is waiting. In Lamentations chapter 3:24, Jeremiah is lamentating. He's all upset about what's going on. And he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I wait for him. The portion, that's the best part. You think about when you're eating, you know, the meat portion like we had last night. That was pretty good. But that was his portion. He was going to wait on it because it was the best part. He says, therefore, I wait for him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In times of distress, wait on the Lord. Micah, you know, there's going to be 300, 400 years before, you know, we have the silence of the Bible. But all the prophets have this in common. They knew that there was better things coming, no matter what was going on at the time. And in Micah 7:7, but as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against the Lord, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my case. He will bring me out into the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. And she who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her downfall. Even now she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. Patience can work for you. It helps you. It helps you get through the hard times. And you don't have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen to the others. The good Lord's going to take care of that. How are we to wait on the Lord? Well, in Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, David says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. You see, patience, when you wait for something as a Christian, your faith will make you understand the importance that it's going to happen. Because, you know, we just read it in James. James says that if you ask for something and you doubt, it's no good. But as Christians, we got something really good to wait for, no matter what's going on in our life. And in Psalms 27:14, it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Be strong. That's perseverance. It's hanging in there. Done wrong, somebody's done you wrong, the Lord will handle it. Wait and see. In Psalms 37:7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Proverbs 20:22 says, do not say, I will pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will avenge you. 33:20 says, wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So we've got the good Lord on our side, so we have a reason to be patient. Wait for it. You know, they always say, wait for it, wait for it. Psalms 38:15 says, I wait for you. You will answer, my God. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his world I put my hope. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. You see, if you're patient long enough, answers will come up to whatever problem that you have. But it's in his word. Salvation is something worth waiting for. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 12, he says that you look forward to the day of the Lord and speed its coming. If you're lost, you have reason to be upset. But if you're a Christian and you wait patiently on the Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life at any point in time, because you got something to look forward. He goes on to say, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Perhaps something's going on that in people that are doing you wrong's life. Maybe the good Lord's given them time to come around. He goes on to say, you may be carried away by error. You know, this keeps you from going down this road of pessimistic, you know, that they're no good, nothing's going to be good come of it. But what happens when we are not patient with God? Well, we know the story about Abraham. He tells him, he said, but a son who is in your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And we see what happened. Sarah and Abraham did not show patience when it came to God. Sarah says, I can build a family through you. She forgot what God says. God says, I'm going to do it. But Sarah says, I'm going to take a shortcut and I'm going to give you my slave woman as a wife. And we could have a family. But patience with God seems to be impossible. You know, a year later, these guys come along and he says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Drop down to verse 14, it says, she starts to laugh in between there. You know, can I still have kids at this age? And then the angel says something very important here. Look at this. He says, he asks the question. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, we have faith that we are going to be resurrected from the dead. We can have eternal life in Christ. But as we go through this life, is there anything impossible for the Lord to do with us? Do we have any reason not to be patient? The Creator of the world's got our back. Do we limit the power of the gospel, you know, to people that are outside? Maybe they've done a really terrible sin in our mind, and we say there's no hope for them. They are steeped in denominationalism. There's no way they've done that their entire life, so they're a lost cause. Or they're caught up in, and name the sin. Just name the sin. There's no way that they're going to come out of that. They were raised Jewish. My daughter-in-law is Jewish, and we're praying and hoping that my son has a really good effect on her. Maybe they're rich. Maybe they're just so rich that they've just got so much money that they don't care about what's going on. Which leads me, impatience will lead to discrimination concerning the lost. Let's talk about a certain rich young ruler. It says this in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? First off, let's take a look. Did he crawl up to the Lord? No, he ran up to it. He was excited about it. Jesus says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Look at the reaction that Jesus had right after he said this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He looked in the heart of this rich young man and he seen something in him. He says that he loved him. He says to him, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. He said, get rid of this thing that's holding you back, and then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. As I grew up in the church, I heard a lot of preachers say, this guy's going to hell. You know, he just didn't come out of that because he just had to hold on to that. But wait just a second. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen to how Jesus responds. He said, Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, he says, how hard is it that the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus again said, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. He's saying to them, just hold on just a minute. Well, we go up there, how hard is it? He didn't say how impossible it is. He said how hard it is. And he not only addressed the rich man, but he addressed the children. He said, children, how hard it is, not impossible. This has amazed the apostles, but Jesus said that it's not impossible for God. With patience, God will do his work. And we read in 1 Corinthians 3:6, you know, the apostle Paul was going through preacheritis kind of thing. And he says, I planted the seed, Paulo to water it, but God has been making it grow. Going back to where we talked about the farmer, you know, he waits on the seed. Sometimes it doesn't happen as quick as we think that it ought to. Preaching in the Upper Peninsula, you know, you've got to be patient with people that had never heard this kind of stuff before. It's just so important. He goes on to say, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It might not be in the time that you think it ought to be. And I go back, you know, to the rich young ruler. There's this verse that's way out of nowhere in Mark. Mark's the only one that has this account. In Mark 14:50, when he's in the garden, he's being arrested. It says that everyone deserted him, that being Christ, and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus when they seized him. And he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. I can't prove that this is a rich young ruler, but perhaps I'm an optimist. I think about some of the things that people have to undo before they decide that they're going to follow Christ. Perhaps they're in a marriage that's unlawful. Maybe they have to make a really hard decision. I'm going to have to stop doing this before I can become a follower of Christ, before I can become a Christian. This is what is on my table that I have to do. Perhaps the rich young ruler went and sold everything that he had, put a sheet on, and because of that, he got away. We need to wait on the Lord when it comes to people that we're trying to teach. Our patience with God will negatively affect those around us. We know the story about Abram. We know that in the end, Sarah just jumps all over him. Says, "You did this." Well, we go back, we know better. But because she jumped ahead of how God wanted to handle it, that's when the trouble began. And we even look further. The impatience affected Ishmael and Hagar. Out in the desert, God heard the child crying. It affected Abraham. Because this was his son. But that's not the way God wanted to handle things. It was going to be in his time and his way. And we need to wait on the Lord and be patient on him. Our patience might just pay off for the sake of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 16, it says, "How do you know?" You see, we all got this idea in our head. This is the way it's going to turn out. You don't know how it's going to turn out. He goes on, "Whether you will save your husband." Or, "How do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God has called them. This is the rule that I lay down in all the churches. We shouldn't ever lose patience in the people that we're trying to teach. Because while there is breath, there is still hope. Teach with great patience. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of the season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with what? Great patience. It takes great patience to bear fruit for Christ. There's no doubt about it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and living joyful thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." Patience helps to maintain the other fruits of the Spirit. Let me suggest this, that without long suffering, there's no gentleness. There's no goodness. There's no faith. Meekness, temperance. And these things, there's no law against them as far as having these. But patience is so important in order to have all these fruits of the Spirit that people on the outside world can see. You can see an impatient person. I mean, fidgety. I got to get here. I got to do this. No. Wait on the Lord. Be patient with those that you teach. This is Mike LaMoth. He has been one of the most encouraging things that's happened to us in the UP. For 13 weeks, we went to the Pickford Township Hall. I was having a Bible study there at 7 o'clock at night. This was in January and February, the first year we were up there. For 13 weeks, I advertised it, on Facebook. If you advertise something, you need to do it. because you don't know whether somebody's going to show up or not. If you don't show up, you say you're going to be there, what credibility do you have, right? So you advertise it. Me and Jules went there, and it's cold. And it's at 13 above, I think it was. And it was blowing and drifting snow. And we got into the parking lot. We pulled up. And all those 13 weeks, you go in there, and you know, I've got a PowerPoint, a little machine, a portable one that I got. I got the stand that holds the screen and the Bibles and the material and everything else. And we go in, we set that up every 13 weeks. Well, that night I said to Jill, I says, should we really go in? And she said, yeah, maybe not. We both looked at each other and said, you know, we're here. We said we're going to be here. And we need to go in and get set up. And it's a good thing we did, because here comes Mike LaMothe. Mike LaMothe sat down. He said, look, my life's a mess. He says, I've been a Catholic all my life. I've never studied the Bible. I need to do this. He said, I seen your advertisement at a resale shop in Cedarville, and I'm here to learn the Bible. I said, okay, let's open up to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. He said, how do you spell Acts? What's a chapter and what's a verse? That moment taught me patience. God is patient and waits in 1 Peter chapter 3:20. God says that he waited patiently in the days of Noah while he built the ark. And we see that only 8 people were saved, right? But God waited patiently as board by board he put it together. How long did God wait for Noah? It was about 100 years, according to my math and scripture, to build this ark. But what was God really patient with? Noah was a preacher. He was, the whole time he's building this ark, people are saying, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Well, it's going to rain. How do you, you crazy? God's tired of what's going on, the sin in the world. You know, Noah was preaching and God was being patient with that, letting it go. Noah was patient about something not seen, the rain. It had never rained before. But he did the patient thing and built the ark stick by stick because he believed what God was going to do. We believe in heaven and hell, right? For 400 years, God showed patience with the Amorites. Verse 16 says, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites have not yet reached its full measure. What does that mean? I'm going to be patient for the Amorites. Maybe they'll turn around. You know, God don't want anybody to perish. You know, the scripture says he waits, right? He wants everybody to come to repentance. For 400 years, during that time, his own people had to suffer in slavery. Sometimes, folks, maybe we have to suffer a little bit. But we have to be patient to it, because maybe God's got another plan, right? You don't know why there's breath, there's still hope. But God will serve his purpose, but we just got to wait on that. What will happen to those who are patient and waits on the Lord? Well, we know that we're looking, like Abraham did, that we're looking for a city that's foundations, not built with hands, but its builder is God. We wait patiently. There will come a time when the patience of God will cease. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On that day comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. He waited on Paul. What a preacher Paul was. What terrible things the Apostle Paul did. But he waited. Man, the Apostle Paul went out there. He put it on fire. He started churches all over the place. Even though he was stoned. I forget that there's a laundry list of everything the poor Apostle Paul went. But he kept on going. It was endurance. It's long suffering. God's patience versus the hope of tomorrow. Guys, don't push God's patience. James chapter 4:13 says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why don't you even know that what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Perhaps you say, well, I'm going to continue what I'm doing because God is patient. But there's a point where God says, uh-uh. Would you try the patience of God? Perhaps you've fallen away. You turn your back on God. Remember, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's waiting for you. The open arms. He says, I want you back. I'd suggest that you don't continue to test the patience of God. Maybe you're not a Christian at this point. Think about it for just a second. He's given you the Word of God. And first thing is that you hear what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And then you believe what God says. And believing Him, you understand that there's... all of us are hardwired to know that there's going to be eternity. We're all hardwired to know that God's laws are in our hearts. We know that we're going against those. We need to believe what God says. We need to confess that He has all authority, that He is the Son of the living God. Because if we don't confess His authority, we won't be acknowledged before the angels in heaven. And repent, to completely turn back your way of life. And finally, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Is there anybody here today that would fall underneath one of those two categories? I'm sure the folks here will be patient with you. They got a baptistry right here. This is so cool. This is so handy. I'm telling you. No big deal. I'm sure they got all the stuff that you need. Why wait another day? Don't test the patience of God. Come to the front as we stand and sing.